Thank you for joining the Latin Generation panel call on the 25th of April 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Dennis, Michael, Marjana, Bidinan, and Summer. Over to you, Marjana.
Okay, I was trying to make agenda for today calling. It was not easy task for me because I feel that somehow I'm not keeping all the things in my hand. So I've read a little bit the changes made by Dennis mostly last time in our report. And I'm not sure, could we start reviewing what we have in, my first idea is to review all those action items and to see where we are now, because probably some of those action items are also finished, and I don't have, I didn't find the right way to testify it. And because Dennis will be absent next 2 weeks, he was absent last time, so when we mostly discussed how to provide data for Appendix D, I want Dennis, if you could start reviewing these action items and say what are your what do you think about it? Could we clear something from these things, or we are still? Or all those things active still. So please, Dennis, could you take the lead?
Thank you, Marjana. This is Dennis. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we clear you very nice. Yeah, this
okay,
clear,
thanks.
Completely clear. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that quick summary over the last meeting. I also heard the recording. And I have an opinion on certain items, but I'll let that for the end. As far as the action items per the what we see on screen, so I resume working on one. I have I included the guidelines number 2 on the proposal, and also started working on 8 or resuming 8, if you will. So we can go to number 1. So if you remember during Brussels, we created a worksheet. Pete, and if you be kind to share it with us, it's the Google Sheets worksheet. Yeah, that one. So slide formatting changes so that it's ready for us to share it with IP when we submit the proposal. So just to make a more readable for those that are not familiar with the analysis itself. So adding 2 more columns for code points and description of the code point in the target area. So that's columns HA, HIJ. Okay, and scores are unchanged, but based on the conversation that we have with IP, we wanted to review some of these items. So those are highlighted in yellow. I think there are around about 20. So we need to review those based on, you know, the clear-cut guidance. For example, clear-cut would be the dot below and the line, or yeah, the line below, Macron below. Those are clear-cut, but anything that is just a vertical line crossing the underline, that's not so obvious cases. So we need to look at those very carefully. And also transitivity, issue. I think there are a couple of cases where what we initially preliminarily assigned scores would create a, because of the transitivity, would create a binary relationship between I and J. So we need to review those and just pick the ones that are really, really critical for this analysis. So I'm going to stop there. And how do we want to move forward, Mirjana? I mean, it's three, four of us. We can just knock those down today, or do we do it online? Oh, Mako just signed in. So we're five, actually. So I think we have enough quorum to, if we want to do it today, we can do it, or we find a way to do it offline. I mean, what's the preference of people? What's the best way, effective way to use our time today?
I don't know, maybe because those things should be discussed. I don't know, is it enough I will prefer to finish it today. At least we can after that scratch something from our agenda. Do you think that we have enough time to do it today, because there is a 20 items to review? Could it be done in 1 hour? What do the other people think?
I mean, it depends on, I mean, I think what we need to do, Mirjana, to be very effective is to set ourselves guidelines, right? I mean, we heard from IP that we need to focus on the clear-cut cases, and everything else, it's a matter of visual similarity. So we can use that for an option, is to say, okay, clear-cut cases are going to be those that are dot belows and line belows, because there's clearly there's this partial overlap, but being just one, a dot, a pixel, you cannot really see the difference. And the line below is right, two parallel lines, which they're somewhat overlap. And so really it's up for confusion, right? And those clear cut, we can say, yes, those are candidates for Banyans under this principle, the underlining on security issues. But for example, a Sevilla, comma, Ogonek, those are just, lines dropping the baseline, and really they are not clear cut cases. They're just visual similarity, and observant user will tell the difference. And so those we just remove we assign the score appropriately. So that's one way to do it, instead of just deciding as a matter of going and inspecting each one of these cases on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, this proposal sounds to me very reasonable, but I want to hear the other people what they think. Could we accept Denis's proposal and make clear cut in reviewing those characters which are here?
Maker wants me to summarize the task again.
Yes, please, because he joined late. Thank you. Yeah, go on, Denis.
Sure. And can somebody explain in through the chat how he can raise a hand? I can do it. There, so, Michael, you need to look at the participants window, and there you have the, okay, got it, he found it. All right. Okay. So for Michael's benefit, and I think you are in the spreadsheet as well, Michael. Signal a yes or no, please. That will be easier for all of us to be on the same page. The hand up is a yes. I guess that's your signal. Or do you want to say something? Go ahead if you want to say something.
Unmute your phone.
No, we cannot hear you, Megan. And it, yeah, looks like. Try again, please.
Hello.
Yes, I yeah, your voice is coming through. Go ahead, Michael.
Echo, we heard hello, but nothing else.
Yeah, okay, so let's go back. Let me, I think he just dropped off his line.
Yeah.
He's, okay, so while Michael is reconnecting, I'd like to, any comments, objections, observations to the proposed way forward. I mean, one is to set principles as to how we assign this course, or do we go case by case?
We have Bill on the right. Bill has raised the hand.
Bill,
please go
Bill
on.
Bill Mirjana. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably worth discussing principles on this, and then we may still have a couple that we need to look at case by case. But I think that probably will go more quickly.
Thank you, Mirjana.
Yeah, I also prefer to have principles, and to that then we shall have less things to discuss. I mean, less code points for reviewing.
Okay, Michael agrees with Bill. All right, so let's talk about principles. Yeah, so principles, and then there's if we need to focus on certain cases to look deeper, we can do that. But that will definitely accelerate the work. All right, so principles. Do we agree that dot and line belows, which is the Macron below and dot belows are clear-cut cases, and therefore whether it's an overlap, I mean, we can assign one overlap or to the partial overlap, but one and two are Vanning candidates. And the second principle is that other lines beyond the baseline are simply not clear-cut cases, and therefore they are three and above. Michael says yes. Bill, raising hand. Bill, please.
Yes, I think... certainly the dot below and Macron below are clear-cut cases. However, I think that, for instance, the comma below and the circumflex below, the deviation from the underlining is so small that I think they, in fact, ought to be considered variants as well.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't write. Bill proposed circumflex.
Circumflex below and comma below.
And comma. Could we?
So that's where we are, right? So then everything is a, because those are the actual, the ones that are not so clear cut. Because they are extending from the base of the letter through the baseline and below. So we're back into basically where we are today.
Uh,
I don't understand how you can say that a comma below is extending from the base of the letter. An oganek, yes, certainly, or a sedia, but a comma is, there's nothing, there's a space between the comma and the bottom of the letter.
Okay, as I see, we have three cases. Dot below and macron below are clear cuts. Also, you said, someone said ogonek and whatever else. Some other diacritic below, I forgot which one.
Cedilla.
Cedilla. Are also... not clear cut, they need not to be further investigated. And we have one which we should look at it at them. It is circumflex and comma below. Am I missing something?
No, I think so do we agree that those, I mean, comma below, you know, we can certainly look at that closer. But circumflex and gonic, I mean, all those diacritics that extend from the base of the letter are not clear cut, and that they can be considered a number three and above. Do we agree on that?
I have to see it. Yeah, you mean ogonek and sedila?
Yeah, the ogonek is slightly different than sedila, but yeah. But the comma and the there's a difference between sedil and comma, right? There's a pixel difference. So, I mean, yeah, I agree to defer a further analysis on the comma below and see how that renders. But those are extending from the base character, from the base of the character beyond the baseline. Those are not clear cut. So,
Michael has hand up. So let's hear what he has to say.
Okay, Michael, please go ahead. And Mirjana, Michael, I think
I don't.
All right,
see.
We'll come back to the question later. So, can you clear up your yes, no buttons so that I'm not confused when as to which part you agree or not? Michael, please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you.
I was dialed in with my telephone before, but for some reason the telephone line was muted. I don't know why. Even if I would unmute it on the phone, it was still muted. Anyways, could you kindly explain in more detail the criteria you are using right now, Dennis? Like, you were speaking about like something going down from the baseline. I have difficulties understanding the discussion. I see that obviously we're in the process of discussing URL underlining. But I'm not sure what kind of decisive criteria you are trying to employ now for basically highlighting a suggestion in between something to be included as a variant and something not to be included. Thank you.
Sure, sure, Michael. So you recall we work on this this underlining worksheet and did a preliminary analysis before the call with IP. During the conversation with IP, we showed this, and their reaction was they were reluctant as to look at individual cases, but what they say was focus on clear-cut cases such as dot and line below. And I think we all are in agreement on that one, right? Because it's either a complete overlap or a partial overlap, but it is really... the partial over that it's not the obvious that such that you can be confused when you have the underline. But on the other cases where you have a vertical line crossing a horizontal line, then that's a different story. And those are the cases that are not so obvious. So we're trying to make a clear distinction which are clear-cut cases with the others so that we can go through this table quickly and not just do a one-to-one inspection. Because we can confidently say all things that are dot belows and macron belows or line belows are either one or two, and doesn't matter because they are going to be considered a valiant candidate for the proposal. But those are partial overlaps in the cases where there's a clear vertical line extending from the base of the character below the baseline, then those are not clear-cut cases, not so obvious. The confusion, I mean, some people may be confused, but an observant user may not be confused. So we'll just say those are going to be three and above and therefore excluded from valiant candidates.
Okay,
and when Bill was saying that we might want to look at comma below as one exception because the way is the font, it's not the same as the Sevilla and Orgonek, right, where the diacritic extends from the base of the character.
Can I ask something? Does that,
yes. I mean,
sure. So you basically wanted to auto include somehow as variants any character which has dot below, macron below, and what's the third option, please?
Line.
That would be the conclusion, correct? Yes. Under this principle of the underlining, right? The overlap of the underline with the diacritic, those dots and line belows would be considered variants under this principle. Yes.
Sorry. Okay, there were two parts of my question. One was, I understand you want to automatically include some, and you want to automatically discard some others. Now, the ones you want to automatically include were of three types, and you said dot below, macron below, but I didn't get the third type. So what was the third type, please?
To include? No, I don't. That's only those two.
Okay, then I misunderstood. I think auto inclusion of anything which has a dot below, macron below, may be okay probably, but I don't think we should automatically exclude anything which has anything else below. So I think these cases should ideally be reviewed case by case.
Thank you. So we're back. I mean, you are in the minority because I think the rest of us want to work on principles so that we don't have to make a call on each case-by-case basis. Because, I mean, one character with Sevilla below will most likely perform the same as the other characters with a Sevilla below and the Ogonecks and all the stuff. So that's why we want to expedite things. So that's what we want to do. Or
so I would like to...
one way to do it.
In response to that, I would say that the modifier you place under a letter has a different positioning depending on the shape of the letter. We already discussed, for example, I remember in Brussels us having discussions about that letters have different positions in regard to the baseline. So some letters are clearly above the baseline, some characters pass through the baseline. So in turn, and in conclusion, that also has an effect on the positioning of the modifier below. So I don't think we can assume that, I don't know, like a with something below behaves in the same way as, for example, a P with something below.
Okay, Michael, so let me react quickly to that one, then I will pass that to Bill because he's waiting. So that's an unreasonable comparison, right? P clearly has a feature that goes beyond the baseline. So if you make a comparison between two letters that do not go beyond the baseline, that would be more reasonable. So Bill, please.
That next. Was the point I was trying to make, what you just said now, Dennis. So I think we're agreeing. We're saying the same thing.
I'm, Dennis, I would tend to agree with Michael. I think the automatic inclusion, I think, yes, we're all in agreement on that. I think automatic exclusion, I think we ought to at least be open to seeing exceptions to that, which is going to mean we'll need to look at each of them to see if they are in fact an exception. But I think to do a proper job on looking at these, we will need to look at them to see if there are exceptions. Thank you.
Hassan?
Yes, I went through the letters now. I can't, especially the dot and the comma. I can't see them. We only see them because we are looking at them. But for the normal user, I think it's difficult to notice that there is something below the letter, especially if there is an underline there. So, I mean, it's very difficult for the user to distinguish between them. So, I don't know if we should include them, but if we include them all, then mostly all the letters will be included. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Yes, I mean, that's what we're saying. Dot and line below are clear-cut cases, so they should be, ought to be considered valid candidates. We're discussing the other cases. So Michael on the chat, I think auto exclusion is fine. If anybody finds a special case that he or she thinks should not be excluded, this could be mentioned and looked at this special case. Okay. So Mirjana, I think we lost. Did we lose Mirjana? No. Oh, Mirjana. Mirjana, do you?
No, I'm here. I was looking, just a moment. I will be back soon. Let me see, where am I? Oh. I don't see all the screens now, but probably I will recover it.
Sorry, so I think half of the panel wants to do case by case, and the other half of the panel wants to do work on principles. And then if somebody has want to raise an issue on a case, we can do that.
Could we? I'm not sure what to say because. Sorry.
I mean, it's clear. Sorry. A case where, and the IP, and I think Bill, Michael, you can attest for this. When we were at the meeting at Coffee, right? We asked, okay, so what's obvious, what's not obvious? I mean, and I think the response was, and I think we all agree that if half of the people say yes and half of the people say no, it's probably not an obvious case. So I think we're just bit in the bush here, and we're talking under URL underlining, which I don't know, in today's internet, underlining it's rarely seen, I think, nowadays.
Sorry, I'm trying to come back with all the screens. So excuse me, I will be back soon.
Okay. Well, that Bill, your hands up.
Yeah, two things. One, I think there's, I think we're agreed that doing principles will reduce the number of cases that we have to look at individually, but I don't think we're agreed that it's, that because we're looking at principles for some cases that we can't look at individual cases. Secondly, while when we spoke with the IP, yes, they said clear-cut cases, but there's a a difference between saying half of the people think this is one way, half think it's the other, so that's not clear cut. But that's not the same as saying if it's not unanimous, then it's not clear cut. I think there's some level of majority that's sufficient to say it's clear cut, even if we have one or maybe two people who go, well, I can see the difference. Well, yes, that's nice that individual is exceptionally perceptive, but we're talking about the broader community here, and we can't ignore the fact that there will be some people who can spot almost anything. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Michael?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to repose the question I also typed into the chat room. So first of all, I noticed that Hazem introduced a third criteria, which I think was comma below, whereas below, when you were summarizing the issue, you only talked about dot below, macron below. And secondly, I wanted to ask which discussion with IPI are you referencing to? And where is that documented, please? Thank you.
So let me start with the last one. That was during COVID. The IP had a informal meeting with the Latin GP, which was represented by Michael, Bill, and myself. And I think Mats was on the phone as well. And I don't think there were minutes.
So I remember us having a discussion about whether we're going to have a formal or some kind of official meeting with IP in Kobe. I think we had this discussion either on a teleconference or during our face-to-face meeting in Brussels. And we decided that, first of all, we don't have the occasion for everyone to be there. And secondly, we don't have enough material to discuss. So whatever was discussed there, unless it's documented, I don't think it should have any relevance, because like not all members of the group were present to understand the discussion being led and the context in which things were said. So whatever was said there, I don't think it should have any weight on what we're doing right now. Thank you.
Well, all I can say is that we always care, not just in the COVID meeting, but in all other interactions and written and verbal feedback from IP, is that our job is to look for clear-cut cases, right? The rest is visual similarity, and there's another work that can handle that. As far as how the meeting took place, I was not one of the organizers, so I cannot speak for that. I do remember, yes, I don't know if we agree or not agree, but yeah, there was the observation was made that we should not have a meeting while others would not be able to meet. So that's just to acknowledge Michael's observation and comment. Sarmat, yeah. Yeah, Mirjana, please go ahead.
No. I just wanted to say the Sarmat hand is up. Yeah, please, Sarmat.
Okay. Sarmat, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. So I would probably want to, I think, just as far as providing a reference is concerned, say that even I think if you don't want to refer to the IP discussion, there is actually a clear-cut documentation around this in the LGR procedure, where actually it says that as far as visual similarity is concerned, so we're not talking about other cases where variants may be motivated, for example, for semantic reasons or other reasons like writing conventions or anything like that, but only from the context of visual similarity. In those cases, there was obviously a discussion the procedure that how do we differentiate whether this is something which should be done with the string similarity review versus something which needs to be done with done or marked as variants. And the procedure is very clear on that. The procedure actually says that only those cases should be marked as variants which are obvious, and the rest of them should be left for string similarity review. So that's something you could actually also reference from the LGI procedure, if that helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, that's helpful. So we spent almost 40 minutes talking about this. Can we make a decision how to move forward here? Because I don't think we have the time to go over case by case basis if we don't have any principles. If we're start looking at nitpicking pixels or not, that's why I wanted to do principles that will allow us to go faster and just focus on those ones that are clear candidates for variant under visual similarity and underlining. Okay, so let me do this. Can I, by show of hands, well, not hands, but show of your yes button on the participants window, please. Can we have, do we agree on shortlisting the dot below and the line below, otherwise also known as the Macron? Can you show your yes on the screen so I see Bill, Hassan, Mirjana? Oh, Mirjana, actually, you are.
I have two entries because something was mixed here. Sorry.
That's fine. Yeah. Mikael, is that an abstention or?
Mikael is yes. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So we are shortlisting those. Now we are shortlisting on partial overlap, but not variant candidates. Let's call it by name. Ogonex, Cedilla, Circumflex, and letters that extend beyond the baseline without diacritics, like for example F with hook, P, and F with hook anyways is look at in other places. I'm sorry, I didn't see if you clear your votes. Can we clear first, please, so that we can have a clean cut, clean count? Thank you.
All right. Could
you repeat what the question is?
No, I'm sorry, Bill. Hold on a second. Michael, please.
Sorry, I was asking the same thing as Bill, I think. Could you clarify what the second vote is supposed to be on? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, sure. I will write it on the chat so it's clear for everyone. All right. So when I'm doing shortlisting score 3, partial overlap, no candidate for Cedillas, Ogonek, Circumflex, and letters that extend the baseline. For example, P, G, F with hook, etc. So all the letters that extend beyond the baseline are not here, and just 3. So that's the criteria to score 3. And we can save this share, right? Okay, yes. So can we have votes, please, on that criteria? Bill, Michael, Hassem, can you please state your opinion by means of the yes, no button? Michael? So I have, oh, wow, so things moving here.
I said, okay. Sorry, I don't know off the top of my head. I have to look at the data.
Well, if you need to look at the data, then that's a no. It's not an automatic.
Look, basically, I would agree to that rationale, Bill. What I'm saying is that there, like I, first of all, the criteria is complex. So you're saying 3 criteria for 3 letters?
So all the letters that have the sedillas, ogonex, circumflex, and the letters that extend the baseline, like, for example, P, G, gamma, Y, all those letters. There is no et cetera there. Yes.
Michael is probably looking at the data, so he can. If Michael, you cannot make decision right now, we can postpone the decision about it, about this question, for the next meeting. But at least we shall know what we are deciding on.
Bill's hands up. Bill, please go ahead.
Yes, I think those, as I mentioned in the chat, those cases you list are not equivalent. It's, I think, far easier to see, for instance, an organect than it is to see a comma below, simply because there are but it simply a whole lot more pixels that show up in the OGANEC. So I'm not sure we can, I'm not sure it's a good idea to try and conflate them all together. Thank you.
But comma is not in that group.
Comma is the third group. Comma and circumflex.
Comma is not in that group.
Okay. Likewise, the circumflex, if you prefer.
Okay, so we have an agreement on shortlisting the dots and line belows. I think we need more time in order to do the other ones. So let's provide people time to look at the data and then decide one way or the other. I know, I'll try to define a next step.
Yeah, Dennis, I think it is a reasonable proposal. So we cannot decide about circumflex and comma, which should be the third group of letters for consideration. We just have decided for one which should be included, and this one for the second proposal, which should be definitely excluded. Dennis, Michael and Bill has some doubts about it. So please, Michael and Bill, will you be so kind to provide for our next meeting the letters or code points which you think should be included as variants? Michael, please go on.
Thank you. As I wrote in the chat room, I would suggest that we make a list of the code points which we called the second vote on now and circulate that by email for all members to take a vote on. So it shouldn't hinge on my opinion or Bill's opinion, but there are other members and also other members who frequently attend meetings but are not there, like Max, for example.
Okay, that's a reasonable proposal. I don't mind. Who will make those lists? Who is volunteering to do it?
This is Bill. I can, I think if Michael and I, since we're both expressing an opinion that we need to look further, I think if the two of us put together, each of us put together a list, and then I will consolidate them and circulate them if that's acceptable to everyone.
I think it is okay. It is acceptable, please.
I have a quicker suggestion, maybe.
Yes, please, go on.
How about we just make a copy of this list, which I understand was produced by Dennis.
Okay.
And we just, I don't know, highlight in some color, whatever, red or whatever, all those code points which fall under this written summary which you put into the chat room, Dennis. That CDRs, organoid circumflex, letter that extend below the baseline, e.g. PGF with hook. And we highlight those. I ping that back to you, Dennis, and you tell me whether I understood your criteria correct. And then we can circulate that link and say, please take a look at all those highlighted in some color and tell us whether you think they should be automatically excluded as a group. Would that be quicker?
Actually, Michael, Bill, I mean, feel free to develop these principles freely. I mean, one way to do it was when we suggested on the chat right now, but don't feel that that's a constraint. I mean, you can start, I mean, I'm just off the top of my head just thinking another category is those letters extending the baseline, for right, like GPs and all those letters, just those letters in one category, and then move on to the diacritics. So don't take that as a constraint. Just start developing something that we can look, can look at.
Yeah, and it would be good if we provide such spreadsheet that every member of the group should give his or her opinion about it, not to do it online because we shall never finish. in that way, we shall never finish this task. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So, Mirjana, if I may, do you want to say something more? I want to be, it's 8 minutes to the top of the hour, so I want to touch on some of the things in the proposal real quick.
Please go on.
Okay, thank you. Pitina, could you help me show the proposal right now, please, on page, let's see, what page is that? Oh, I'm lost here.
Tell the section.
Yeah, I'm looking. It's, I think it's the starting on six. There you go. Page 38 at the bottom of page 38, please. So this was also something, an action item from the Brussels meeting with IP and we needed to define clear principles such that it's easier for IP and other reviewers to quickly pinpoint, you know, what's the reasons of each of the variant sets, right, or the variant candidate. So this is, and basically it's a summary of all of the items or principles that we are considering variants for, starting from the visual variants, homoglyphs, glyph nearly identical, and the visual variants and the explanation generally acceptable font design, like the different fonts of 8, different designs of 8, and the different designs of F, right? We have a couple of those cases. And the reason, so the index number, it's 1 through 8 right now. Then you have the principal name, the reason that we are defining this principle, and you have security or usability that matter, and what's going to be the disposition of that variant relationship, right? In the case of security, of course, the disposition value is going to be blocked, and from usability standpoint, it may be allocatable. Also, that's a placeholder. Not sure if that's going to end up there, but I think we're there. So these are, these are going to be familiar with you, right, dude? So we have, again, from the top, index number 1 and 2 and 3 are visual variants with different categories, if you will, from homoglyph to generally acceptable font designs. Number 4, we have the function. That's an alternative orthography. That's a case where we are discussing, for example, the German asset and the substitution of SS. That's still on debate, I think, not definitive conclusion on there, but just in case it's there, the principle under which it was analyzed. Then we have 5 and 6, variant relationship due to symmetry property and transitivity. These are the cases where we did not seek to have a variant relationship, but was rather imposed by symmetry and transitivity properties, right? So again, the primary reason these are variant, we find variant relationship because of the symmetry and transitivity properties and not because something else. That's quite, I mean. And 7 is URL underlining, and 8 IDNA 2003 compatibility. So these are, as of today, I think the 8 principles under which we will assign one or more values to a variant relationship, right? A variant relationship could be, for example, the rationale could be 8 because it was found under IDNA 2003 compatibility, but also could be something different. Same URL underlining, but also, for example, URL underlining and other types. So it's not that one single one of these index is exclusively. It can be also a variant relationship could have multiple reasons as to why they are variant relationships. And so Michael has a question. So in which category does non-visual similarity or hybrid cases? So non-visual similarity, for example, can you be more specific? That could be function, that could be URL underlining, that could be IDNA 2003 compatibility. Are there any other cases, Michael, under non-visual similarity that you can think of are not represented here?
I don't have a set in mind the definitive list of what we have included so far, but if we remember the short list we generated, there were different categories. For example, like variation in base characters, like two types of E shape, two types of A shapes, which were considered equivalent. For example, was not in repertoire, but I don't remember in other cases. So those cases, in which category do they fall?
So for just speak to specific cases, the type of cases, this is what I just mentioned under number 3. visual variant, but it's because of a generally acceptable font design, the two types of A shapes and the two types of F shapes, that will be a visual variant.
But we analyze them and consider them as under non-visual similarity. So why are they then reconsidered as visual automatically by this category? So I think this needs some extra level, either in different category for like visual or non-visual variant, or we need to clarify that the visual variant categories beyond, I guess, one. So everything from 2 to 3 may be visual or non-visual, or like is not a clear-cut category. Something like this would be my idea.
But I mean, in those cases, I mean, the A's and the F's wouldn't be visual. I mean, there's different ways to render those, right? And that's a visual thing.
So the discussion we had was that like there is one type of similarity which comes from the fact that two users, a user may not be able to visually tell the difference between two code points or two characters or two glyphs. And another reason may be that a user may be able to tell the difference between two code points, two characters or two glyphs, but may consider them effectively equivalent. And those things overlap into one another. So I don't think it's a...
So, Michael, please feel free to comment, make observations on this one. It's not a definitive work. It's just a draft, first attempt to try to summarize all the work and principles. So please feel free to do it. And with that, Mirjana, I need to drop off for another call right now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's okay.
So I'll be looking at the minutes. Yeah, and unfortunately, just really quick, on number 8, the German, the IDNA 2003 compatibility on the German asset, and now, so I'm going through the notes on Brussels to make a draft on those findings, and then from there, well, from we can make a conclusion from there, right? And also Michael's report on his meeting with the German registry. So I'll have that, a draft with that, and I'll put it for all of you, take a review and then make a conclusion whether variant relationship is warranted or not. And so with that, I need to drop off right now and go. Thank you,
Dennis, very much. Thank you. And thank you very much for everything you have done today. Michael, please.
Thank you.
This list of what we talked about last 10 minutes or something like this, please review it and add everything in it you think it is suitable. This is the common work. It is just the proposal. That's one thing which I wanted to say, and Dennis repeated it. Also, because we are on the top of the hour, I just want to make an agreement with you. What do you think? Should we have a meeting next week? Because we have a few things to do. Only a few people have filled the results for Appendix D. I mean, investigation, different things which we have done before, according to the template Michael has provided. So we have two physical things to do. To provide all this appendix, all this stuff for Appendix D, and also Michael and Bill has to provide a new table in which we shall somehow decide what should be included as in future investigation of variants with underlining. So my proposal is to have the meeting in 2 weeks, but in next 2 weeks that everybody prepare and that we finish these two tasks before next meeting. That's how we shall a little bit make things go quicker. People need some time to do the voting. So what is your opinion? I don't see disagreement, please. Only disagreement. No disagreement. So we shall have next meeting in 2 weeks. And please be so kind to finish those tasks which we have which we have discussed today. Homework for Appendix D and this table, which it would be good to have it as soon as possible so that we can ask people to make their decisions and that we shall have some kind of final decision about underlining. And thank you everyone to be present.
Magena, sorry, yeah. We have Michael and Bill in the chat that we agree to meet weekly.
To meet weekly? Okay, yeah, I don't mind.
Yes, you don't
because
see the chat.
I don't see everything on my screen. Sorry for this. Okay.
We have so much to do that weekly really does seem like a good idea.
Okay, I don't mind, really. I don't mind, but I don't think that we can provide everything in 1 week. I mean, all this material, could you? And that we have make our decisions about...
We'll get as much done as we can. I think with the tasks you've laid out, even if we only do half of them, we'll still have plenty to fill the next meeting.
Okay, if you think it will be ready and that we should have some result before next meeting, I do. I have nothing to against it. So we can have meeting in 1 week and see where we are then. Okay, sorry for this. Sorry, I have mixed my screen and I don't have all these frames on the screen. That's why I didn't see that you and Michael has proposed something. Okay. So we shall have a meeting next week. Sorry. Thank you, Pitinan, for reminding me for the discussion. Now I think we can close the meeting. Let me see if I'm missing something. Okay, thank you very much for being present to this meeting and see you and hear you in 1 week. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.